Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881 and share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, I was just listening to the advertisements there during the break. I liked that last one where they were talking about films and they were rated PG for language, blah, 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 blah. I thought we should rate this show. We should rate the parental guidance for this show because problems are solved, prayers are answered, and miracles happen in the next 30 minutes because that's when we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. We come together as a little praying family here on Archangel Radio, and everybody's invited to the feast. And we come together, and whatever is on our mind, whatever is on our heart, we pray about. And you're very much part of that. There's two ways you can interact with us here, and that is by calling in on 888-928-0881, or you can text me directly on 251-928-2111. And each day in this radio apostolate, I am accompanied by some very brave individuals. We call them prayer warriors because they do battle for you with the thrones, the dominions, and the powers of darkness all around us. And they cry out to heaven in supplication for your needs. So let's find out today who are our heroic prayer warriors.
In the studio today, Kevin, we have Mary Trawick as well as Pam Aist.
Pam and Mary, what a combination. Wonderful.
Yes, Rose is in Germany seeing her grandchild, so she left me.
But we've got Pam as well. Good morning to
Pam
you, Pam.
Pam is super holy, so yeah, Rose is super holy. We got Pam.
We actually have our executive producer, who, of course, lives in Germany. She's in the States right now. You might have just met her just a minute ago. I'm not sure if y'all saw each other, but she's right out there. That's Michelle, and she's from Germany. And then we have Rose, who is in Germany visiting. What did we have the other day, Kevin? We had somebody who had traveled from Mobile to London.
Cool.
While you broadcast in Mobile from London.
That's right. And even better than that, I have had a prayer request in from the wonderful city of Brussels in Belgium.
Wow.
So we have somebody. So we are covered. We've got Germany, we've got Belgium, UK, USA. We've got the whole works. We've got the whole world, and it's all in his hands. Well, listen, Pam, I hope you're well today. Is life treating you as you deserve?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Well, that's good. And Mary, I hope all is well with you.
It is. It's going well.
You know, we've been praying a lot for that intention you brought to us, you know, Tanya's children.
Oh, yeah. They're doing well. Silas doing well. She's adjusting. Kids seem to be so resilient. So she stayed with me a few times and went swimming in my pool, and she's at day camp at a local skating camp, so she's doing really well.
Yeah, let's just tell the audience, this is two young girls who've lost their mother, and the older one has to look after the younger one, and Mary brought it to our attention a few weeks ago, and we've been praying solidly for, I think it's Mia and Sila, isn't it?
Correct, two girls. Yes, very good.
And we've been praying very much for them on this show, and if you get the chance, Mary, just let them know that they're part of this praying family, and we've kind of adopted them, and we're praying for them, and if they ever want to just phone in or come in one day and pray with us, we'd be absolutely delighted.
Oh, that sounds like a plan. I have told her, and she's very grateful. But I think prayers are working, and we'll just continue.
That's right. Okay. Well, look, you two are experienced prayer warriors. You have fought in many campaigns with me here on Archangel Radio. So you know the drill. So I'll just tell anybody out there who's listening for the first time, Mary, Pam, and me, we're going to get together and we're going to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. This is a beautiful prayer which was given to the church through a Polish nun, Sister Faustina, back in the 1930s. She had a number of apparitions, or saw a number of apparitions of our Lord. And he talked to her about the mercy of God. And that's what this prayer is all about. It's about that wonderful aspect of love and mercy for each of us. And no matter who you are, Catholic, non-Catholic, believer, non-believer, we all need mercy in our lives. And we all feel when somebody is being merciful to us. In fact, I would go further and say this world needs mercy like never before. And that's why we're doing this live on air. So whatever you might think about me, you've got Mary and Pam on the job. We're going to pray for you now. So to do so, you need a pair of rosary beads or 10 fingers. Either way, you're sort of set. And then what we do is we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. That's wonderful. Okay, so for this first decade, I'm going to come to you, Pam. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Well, I belong to this very wonderful prayer group, the Seven Sorrows of Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And we are praying for many, many people, but we are praying for Dina Bazar, and she has blast leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also praying for my husband, Alan, who has heart problems.
Yeah.
And for all the other souls that we're praying for.
Okay. And we'll pray as well, Pam, for everybody in the Sorrows of Mary, Seven Sorrows of Mary prayer group. We'll pray for all their needs, said and unsaid. We'll ask the Lord to look after them, and we'll ask Our Lady in particular to intercede for whatever it is they need, especially anything to do with family, children. Children coming back to the faith, that type of thing. And we'll pray for Dina. We'll pray that, let's pray for a miracle, Pam. Why not?
Yes.
Let's pray for it.
Yes.
So let's pray that the blood in this month of July, that the blood of Jesus will wash away all the leukemia from her blood, from her cells, from her body. And she'll be completely reborn in the blood of the Lamb. And let's pray for your husband, Alan. Let's pray for his health as well at this time. And let's pray for an ever greater blessing on your marriage, Pam, you and Alan. I'm sure you're wonderful witnesses. And let's pray that people recognize and value what you've given to them.
Thank you.
Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Pam and Mary. Okay, the second decade is all yours, Mary. Take it away.
Yes, I'd like to pray for all of, just for mankind to understand God's mercy, and in particular for Jesus and his unfathomable mercy. I think I said that kind of wrong, but for his endless mercy, and that people will trust in God and come back to him. I can see people, it seems that the pendulum may be swinging that way because people are finding how empty the world can be without him.
That's right.
I don't know how people survive in the world without knowing God's love and his mercy and the trust that you put into Jesus, and how he hears you and loves you and helps you, and I just pray that people can accept that and feel it.
Amen. You're also making me think, Mary, that we need to give thanks for how blessed we are.
Amen.
In knowing the mercy of God, right?
Right. Thankfulness.
Because you're absolutely right. I think the same way. How can they survive without God's mercy? And do you know what? I don't think they survive. They just exist. They just live a life as desperate as... Whereas you and I, we know mercy, and through mercy we know love, and through love we know joy, and we know the freedom of being the children of God, as St. Paul says. And it is a wonderful feeling, right?
It is.
And you know what? You've also, in a nutshell, nailed what this prayer is all about. God's mercy, trust in God, and that's what the divine mercy is all about, right?
It is.
So what we're doing here this morning, Mary, Pam, and me, and you, is we are spreading that word in a little way. We are lighting that candle in the darkness. So if you're listening to this and you're wondering what this is all about, too good to be true, well, you're right. It is too good to be true. But we're here to help you understand just how good it is. And if anybody is out there listening to this, needing something in their life, they're feeling unloved, or they need to feel mercy, well, Mary's just prayed for you. And we're going to pray for everybody listening today that they will experience something of the mercy of God this day in their lives. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Mary, and thank you, Pam. Now, a few weeks ago, we prayed for our friend Elisa, who listens to us up in New Jersey. And you may remember that we prayed for Elisa's father, Bill, and he was getting some sort of treatment for various ailments at this time. sort of unspecified cancer of some sort from memory. And you probably remember as well that Bill was a great one of these sidewalk counselors, somebody who prayed for hours outside those abortion centers and tried to help women to keep their babies. And now Bill, I'm afraid, started his treatment for cancer last Thursday. And his daughter wrote to me, and I'll just read out some of what she said. She said, "We had planned to be with him, but had to leave earlier than expected because we were informed that the medicine he is getting, which is great and highly sought after for that specific cancer, is extremely dangerous for children and women. So we really couldn't be around my dad. So to make matters worse, Bill has been on his own now in this medical facility, and his family can't stay with him." And Bill, Lisa sent me a photograph of Bill and his little granddaughter, Annabella. And Annabelle looks very sweet, but Annabelle, you can't understand why she can't be with her grandfather. And her grandfather, no doubt, is very distraught that he can't be with her. So they're having to stay away from somebody they love at a very, very difficult time. And I don't know what you think, ladies, but that's probably one of the hardest crosses I've heard in a while, right?
Yeah, I think after the pandemic, we have more a grip on what it is to be alone in circumstances like where you're suffering, and my heart goes out to them. It's hard on the family as well as the patient, so our prayers are going out.
Sure. Absolutely. So we pray for you, Elisa. We pray for your father, Bill. Pray for Annabelle, pray for the whole lot, and lift all of you up at this time in the divine mercy. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, ladies. So for this fourth decade, Pam, it's back to you. Who or what would you like us to pray for?
Well, I would like to pray for the seminarians of the Diocese of Mobile.
Yeah.
It's a challenge, and they are now getting a new leader, Father Patrick Gilbreth. He's taken over the vocations ministry, and we are very grateful for Father Victor Ingalls, who is now leaving that ministry. He's been a blessing. Mm-hmm. And like to pray for both of them and all the seminarians. And hopefully we will get more seminarians.
Yeah, it's a beautiful prayer, Pam. And absolutely, we pray for Father Patrick coming in and his predecessor leaving. We pray for all the seminarians, both those that are there currently and any future ones, as you say. That's a wonderful service. Because without seminarians, we don't have priests, right? And without priests, we don't have the Eucharist.
Right, exactly. Right.
And that would be something. Okay, well, we trust in God's mercy, and we pray for not only many recruits to the seminary, but many good and holy priests being produced there as well.
Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Pam, and thank you, Mary. Okay, this is the fifth and final decade. Can you believe it? We just get there so quickly, it seems. I'm going to come back to you, Mary, for the last word. But before we do so, I'm just going to turn to Reed. Reed, is there anybody or anything that you would like us to pray for today?
Yes, Kevin. I know that we have been doing this a lot, but really one of the themes that we have been experiencing on the show is people who are facing the reality of cancer.
Yeah.
So I would love to pray for anybody who is facing that, or is, you know, a family member of somebody who's facing that, and especially like St. Jude's Children's Cancer Center, all the children and families there.
Where is that, Reed, St. Jude's?
I believe it's in Tennessee.
Right. Okay. We'll definitely lift that up today. It's a beautiful intention. We do get a lot of people who are battling cancer on this show, and we pray with you and we pray for you. So thank you for that, Reed. Mary, anybody, anything that you would like us to pray for in this final decade?
Yes, I'd like to pray for those that are in prison, or otherwise their freedom has been taken. And I pray for the ones that are paying their debt to society, that they do not lose hope, that they are filled with good, and go ahead and turn over a new leaf and become members of society, and that God blesses them. And for all sinners, me included, that we are striving to be with God and to do his will.
Amen. That's a beautiful prayer. I wonder sometimes, if we have any listeners in prison, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to pray for you. So do get in touch with us. We value your contribution and pray for your restoration to us. Okay. That's beautiful, Mary. So we have just one final intention that's come in. I mentioned Marguerite, who prays with us in Brussels, in Belgium. She's asking for prayers for her six grandchildren. Wow. And that God may keep her in good health to continue praying and praising God. I think that's a beautiful intention, Marguerite. And we are very, very happy to have you as a listener over there in Belgium. She also asks for prayers for this show, which we need. Marguerite, always grateful
always
for.
But
let's expand that out and pray for everybody at Archangel Radio. Pray for Ellen, pray for Michelle, Sherry, Shannon, Mike, Todd. Pray for all the board, Joe especially. And we pray for all our donors and all our listeners, and especially our prayer warriors who give up so much time. Now, just before we finish, Pam, any final last requests before we say this last decade?
Well, for the people who are having surgery today.
Okay. Let's put that in as well. And thank you very much for reminding me, because we've had a number of people who we've been praying for. Thinking of Charles, for example, Shannon's father. We pray for him, and if there's any information about Charles, we'd be grateful to have it. We also pray for Baxter, who Louise alerted us to, a young woman as well who's going to need surgery quite urgently. So thank you, Pam, for that. We'll bring all of this into the final decade, as we say. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
and atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
O my Jesus,
I trust in you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, ladies, very, very much for coming in and praying with me today.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
And we forgot to pray for Rose, but I guess she's kind of included, isn't she? She's a prayer warrior, so we kind of got her in that way, right, Mary?
Got her in there. Yeah.
She's in there. Well, look, I hope you're both going to come back soon and join us again in the near future.
Certainly.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, listen, have a beautiful Wednesday. Speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now, when we come back, we're not so much looking to heaven. We're looking to the heavens because we've got our good friend Bill Murphy coming in to make sense of some of the ufology that is buzzing around out there at the moment. We'll be back straight after these words. Stay tuned to the Trilly Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Trilly Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. It's great to have your company this Wednesday morning. Now, the news keeps getting more bizarre by the moment. It really does, especially in the world of ufology, extraterrestrials, UAPs, all of that sort of thing. Before we meet our next guest, somebody very familiar to you all, I'm going to ask Reed to play us a recent news segment just to give us the latest flavor of what's happening out there. So let's have a listen to this.
A discovery by scientists in the Pacific Ocean could help prove that aliens are real. Astrophysicists say metal fragments recovered from an unidentified object which crashed into Earth in 2014 could be remnants of an interstellar spacecraft. NASA has confirmed the debris, dubbed IM-1, almost certainly came from outer space, with new research suggesting the pieces were artificial in origin. To find out more, we're joined by one of the scientists behind this discovery, physics professor Avi Loeb. He previously chaired Harvard's University Astronomy Department and now leads the university's Galileo Project, which focuses on the search for UFOs and interstellar objects. Good morning, Avi. Well, what makes you think that this material is from outer space?
We know that the object moved faster than the escape speed from the solar system, so it definitely is not bound gravitationally to the sun, and it came from outer space, and moreover, it had material strength tougher than all the space rocks that we had seen before from the solar system.
So are you saying we do not have any metal that matches this on Earth at the moment?
Well, we are now analyzing it. I just received the materials from the expedition. We came back a few days ago, and I received it in the mail. You can see one of the spherules in this vial. They are a millimeter in size, and they are the molten droplets from the surface of this object. We plan to analyze them in the lab and figure out their composition. It's the first time that humans put their hands on material from an object, you know, the size of a watermelon that came from outside the solar system. And it could be that it's artificial. It was manufactured by another civilization. It could be maybe a natural object, just tougher than the ones we have in the solar system.
That's amazing. So, chief scientist.
Yes, okay. It definitely is amazing. Now, just before you wonder who Professor Ave Loeb is, he's no sort of fringe conspiracy theorist type individual. He previously chaired Harvard University's astronomy department and now leads that university's Galileo project, which focuses on the search for interstellar and UFOs and various other extraterrestrial objects. So what is going on? Well, my next guest is writer and historian Bill Murphy and our very own resident ufologist. UAPs, UFOs and everything in between is his expertise. So let's hear what he makes of this and other news in the world of extraterrestrials. Bill, welcome back to the Turley Frequency.
Hey, Kevin. It's great to be with you, and we just had some more breaking news on this Avi Loeb thing, so we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Well, what was your initial reaction when you heard this latest news about the IM-1 object?
Well, I think like most everybody else thought it was a pretty long kind of a shot, but Loeb has that cachet, as you noted. He did a lot of good work on Oumuamua. He has had confirmation from the U.S. government that this does seem to have been interstellar. The big thing was, would they be able to find any of this detritus on the bottom of the ocean off of Papua New Guinea? And he seems to have done it. And the initial tests, both at sea and at Berkeley, have seemed to confirm that it is truly unusual.
Mm. As you say, it's unusual, but it's still a long shot to move to the next level, which says that it is of extraterrestrial origin, right?
Yeah, he's got a couple things in his favor. The speed at which this object came in does indicate an extrasolar, I should say, not even terrestrial origin. The composition of that meteorite, IM-1, is greater than 272 of the 273 objects in the standard catalog. He seems to have been right, and his student Amir Siraj, on where this thing would actually land and sink and the kind of stuff that would be left after it traversed the atmosphere. So he's got a lot behind him.
Absolutely. I'm in conversation with Bill Murphy, ufologist. If you have any questions for him, you can text me, 251-928-2111, or you can call in and speak to Bill on 888-928-0881. I have one question already text through to me, Bill. It's just saying, do we know the age of this object? Any ideas?
Well, he's been talking about that, and I think there was something preliminary that some of the stuff he had was the age of the solar system, or maybe even older, and then some of it was more recent. Now, they're still going through all of the stuff. They've got some sludge that they're looking into for smaller of these spherules that he's really after. But they're going to have to nail that down at Harvard.
Absolutely. Somebody rather facetiously has just texted in, Bill, saying it's not older than some of the jokes on this show.
Well, I'll have to pass on that. I tell a few myself.
Now, listen, we spoke the last time, and I was talking about you actually just last week, because we talked about Dave Grulch, do you remember? Pentagon whistleblower, and we'll come to him in a moment. But you yeah. know that in our conversation the last time you were here, we talked about his ever grandiose claims, in particular one about Italy yeah. and about a flying saucer landing in Mussolini's Italy in 1930s. And then, lo and behold, the Daily Mail were approached by a UFO researcher in Italy who says, wait a minute, I've got proof for that. What did you make of all of that?
Well, that's a very interesting story. My final take on this is that this could have implications for Grush's believability. A guy by the name of Roberto Pinotti, as early as 1996, got some material. Anonymous source, all of this kind of stuff, some very interesting documents. Provenance was uncertain. It sounds, frankly, Kevin, like MJ-12. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing
Just tell our audience what that is.
MJ-12 was a set of documents purportedly developed under the Truman and Eisenhower administrations that set up a 12-person group to deal with alien crash retrievals in the U.S. And it's been roundly decided that that is a hoax. By whom? We don't know. But there's even thought now that this whole 1933 Magenta Italy thing itself was a hoax, possibly spread by the U.S. along with some of this other stuff like MJ-12 to make possible enemies worried about us.
So just for anybody who hasn't been following this, this is the alleged crash landing of an alien craft back in 1933, I think, in Mussolini's yeah. Italy, retrieved by U.S. forces at the end of the Second World War and shipped back to the United States and currently under lock and key in some government hangar in Area 51, no doubt. That's the story. But also, Dave Grulch, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, did I misremember this, that Dave suggested that the Vatican knew all about this crash retrieval? Somehow.
He certainly did. He said something to the effect that the Pope, it's a little bit uncertain as to whether it was Pius XI at the time when he heard about this, but in any event, Pius XII, in a sense, kind of got the stuff out of Italy or helped get it out of Italy to the United States after the war. Now, that particular addition to the story comes later. After Pinotti published all his stuff in 2000 and 2001. And here's where it gets really weird. A guy by the name of Billy Brophy, who said his father was shown these bodies, connected it with the Pope's activity at getting it over to the United States. So that was well after the story broke. We think that Brophy actually started publicizing that in 2010. And Billy Brophy was noted for putting his father in other places like Trinity in 1945, where just after the first atomic bomb, a couple of kids discovered another alien spacecraft, and Jacques Vallée got hold of that and wrote a very controversial book.
The whole thing is controversial. What do we know about the Italian researcher Pinotti? You know all about this sort of thing. You will have followed the various people involved in the world of ufology. What do you know about him, Bill?
Well, he is part of a team that's pushing for San Marino to become the UN of UFOs. We talked about San Marino, I think, last time. So he's got some pretty interesting ideas. The stuff that he wrote in 2000 and 2001 has been roundly attacked by another group of Italian ufologists, both on the standpoint of his scholarship, not letting the materials that he and another guy by the name of Lissoni collected out for other people to review, and then also that the real provenance of those materials is being questioned, and since people can't really get a hold of them, there's a very big rift, I think we can say, in Italian ufology on that. Hadn't really transferred to the U.S. until Grush starts talking, bringing that in. And Lou Elizondo seemed to have, in some ways, confirmed the general authenticity of all of these materials, only a part of which was connected with the 33 crash.
Yeah, you know, it's a strange story, and it's a story which is so strange. I mean, I just off the top of my head, Bill, I can't imagine how a story like that would be kept quiet for so long. I mean, it's just so outlandish. Even in a dictatorship like Mussolini's fascist Italy, I still can't see how people would keep their tongues from wagging about some strange incident like that. But I could be wrong. Now, we're going to talk about Dave Grosh at the end, because there was another big UFO story involving a family in Las Vegas. And just to set it up, Bill, I'm just going to ask Reid to play us a little audio clip from a local television station, which will give a flavor of this story, which has certainly resonated over this side of the Atlantic as well. So let's hear about some of the goings on in Las Vegas, and we're not talking gambling.
A bizarre story is coming out of Las Vegas, Nevada, a possible UFO mystery. ABC's Andrew Dembert shows us.
It's a scene straight out of the X-Files. A family in Las Vegas insisting something is out there after allegedly having a close encounter of the third kind.
I swear to God, this is not a joke.
One witness calling 911 after they say an object fell out of the sky and landed in their backyard.
They're like 9 foot, 10 foot tall. They look like aliens to us. Big eyes, they have big eyes.
The mysterious object that fell from the sky, even the officers apparently saw that. The green glow of the alleged UFO is seen on this newly released body camera footage.
I have butterflies, bro. Everyone saw a shooting star, then these people say there's aliens in their backyard.
So when that 911 call came in, less than an hour later, police were ready to believe it.
It was like a big creature.
A big creature?
Yeah, like around 10 feet tall.
Because I'm not going to BS you guys. One of my partners said they saw something fall out of the sky too, so that's why I'm kind of curious. Did you see anything land in your backyard? Or?
But after a brief investigation of the yard, officers closed the case as unfounded.
If those 9 foot beings come back, don't call us, all right? Deal with it yourself. That, I ain't dealing with that.
According to former intelligence officer David Grush, an alien crash landing isn't too far-fetched. Grush recently turned over documents to Congress claiming the U.S. government has a vast collection of vehicles that have non-human origin. Andrew Dimbert, ABC News, New York.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any weirder, Bill, it sounds like aliens are more common in Las Vegas than winners at the casino.
Yeah, and these are 10-foot tall aliens, too. And there's a little more even behind that, because the police put surveillance cameras up at the house where these aliens landed. Then a police spokesman said they didn't even have the department to put the cameras up, but it's listed on their own website. So we get a lot of this human background of, who's telling the truth and all that. Latest I've heard, and I'll probably be reporting on this in a little bit, is that the family has pretty much shut themselves up, releasing or making a claim like they did. Is a crime, I understand, in Nevada if it's a hoax. But the police did take it seriously, more seriously than they want us to know. And so it's another extremely interesting story. I think there's another one coming out, too, that I'll probably be talking about.
Well, go right ahead. Which state are we going to now?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to look this one up because I haven't had a chance to
That's okay. Well, just while you're doing so, Bill. This is part of the problem with the kind of UFO lore that we keep coming up against. People make very outlandish claims, and then they kind of either backtrack, or they go very quiet, or they suddenly become very coy with the media or whatever, and. There's two competing narratives. One, that it was completely lies and it was a setup for attention or money or whatever. Or there's another narrative that they've been got at, that they've been had by the authorities, that the men in black have been and visited and shut them up. I know we've only got a superficial reading of this case. To some extent, you might have more knowledge than the average person, though, Bill. I mean, do you think this is hoaxville, or do you think this is something which is just strange?
I think that the family actually had some kind of experience. I doubt that it's connected with the meteor that actually was recorded falling probably scores of miles away. And the family did seem genuine. I know the son made up or made a video that used some other footage, but I really, Devin, don't know what to think about that. By the way, the other thing is coming out is an entity landed in Austin, and a Texas man has got an image of it. I'm looking at it right here. There's been so much other news, I haven't had a chance to.
That's okay. Listen, I've been to Austin. I'm sure you have, Bill. And the city motto is let's keep Austin weird. So UFOs landing in Austin, nobody will notice and nobody will pay any attention to it. But let's return to Dave Grulsch. I'm sure you've seen some of the footage now because he's been giving certain media interviews. I've seen part of it. I haven't seen the whole interview. And various people have been analyzing him, the body language, his tone of voice, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take on him now as a kind of credible witness, given the really outlandish claims that he's coming out with?
I think he's a credible witness. Whether he has good information, bad information, some of both, that's the only question in my mind. But I do think that David Grulsch is serious. He could be in a lot of trouble if he is just making this up. He's got a very good record. And I did something on that either Monday or Tuesday of this week. This Monday. And it's got a few things about him that I think are really worth looking at. There's been something too by a guy named Billy Cox that talks about him, specifically about all these people that are, you know, psychoanalyzing his gestures and things have autism, and some people are throwing that at him, but there have been studies saying that people that think differently can be very good in intelligence, very careful with what they say, and they have different angles on things. So he really, I think, personally, is a very believable witness.
Yeah, that's not what I expected you to say, actually, Bill. So I'm kind of intrigued. I mean, because the last time we spoke, you were veering a little bit towards that this was maybe a little bit too outlandish. What has brought you to the position where you do think he's credible? What have you unearthed?
Well, I make a distinction between him being credible and him telling the actual complete truth. I think it's very possible that he was misled. And I've mentioned before to a lot of different people, either the guy is telling the absolute truth and wow, you know, he's telling complete falsehoods or partial falsehoods knowingly. I just can't see that. Or he has been getting a mixture of information. Gotcha. And in that case, we got another story, Kevin.
Which is the whole disinformation business, right?
You have it, and then here it may even tie in with this Vatican connection.
Go on.
Vatican, it might be the Italian MJ-12 kind of thing, or the whole Italian interest in crashed vehicles. From 50 to 54, there was a lot of interest in German UFOs, and this might have stimulated a little bit of interest in developing something between fascist Italy and the Third Reich. And that's Micah Hanks thinks this. Smarter people than I have thought this issue up.
I think you're pretty smart on this, Bill. But I do know that this business of Nazi UFOs has been around for decades, and I thought it was completely debunked.
It is, I think, pretty much to me. It got big in 50 to 54 particularly, but it, like a lot of these other UFO studies, brought stuff in. They grew, just like the Trinity case may have grown with the addition by Billy Brophy of the Vatican connection. And so, heck, Kevin, this is half the fun of doing this, because you're looking at the UFOs and that thing, and then you're looking at people. And then the interactions are so much more interesting sometimes than the bare facts.
I couldn't agree more. I absolutely could. I agree with you totally, Bill. I think that's what's so fascinating. Not so much what people see, but what they believe they see. So listen, believe it or not, thank you so much, Bill. You've given us a wonderful overview of the current state of ufology, which never fails to deliver, that's for sure. But tell us this. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Just tell us, in the next few months, what should we be looking out for? What do you think is coming down the track?
Well, there's two things, really. The DOD, ODNI, Department of Defense Office of the Director of National Intelligence, are due for another report to Congress, really, in this kind of time frame. And then the NASA study team that was looking at data for UFOs, they're going to have to turn a report in fairly soon, too. Those are the two big things I'd look for.
That's great. So, Bill, just tell people where they can find out more about you, your work, and your writing.
Well, right now, anomalous.com. In fact, that's got something on Loeb and something on the whole Grush thing this week. We'll have more on that this week. Then I also am with the Center for UFO Studies, as you know. And we are coming out with a new website. It's gotten stymied a little bit by all this other news, but we're coming.
Well, I hope when it comes, you're going to be able to have all this audio, which you're doing here, Bill, collated and collected so people can go back and listen to it. Listen, we're really grateful for you taking the time to come on the show. We love speaking to you. You've become a bit of a fan favorite over this side. So thank you so much for your time, Bill. Look forward to speaking to you in the near future.
My pleasure, Kevin. Thanks.
Okay, that was Mr. Bill Murphy, and you can check him out at theanomalous.com and the UFO Center for Research and other such places. Great.
All right, Kevin, we went from history to the heavens, as you said earlier.
Yeah, well, and we also went via heaven because we went from the divine mercy. So you have it all on this show, earth, heaven, and everything in between.
Yes, we sure do. It's been a lot of fun. What's coming up tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we have Catholic Radio's equivalent of the Marx Brothers. We welcome Joe and Joe, New York City radio hosts, to the show. And I can absolutely guarantee you one thing, it won't be dull.
That should be great.
Listen, I hope you enjoyed listening to us as much as we enjoyed serving you this morning on the good ship Archangel. So if you liked it, let's do it all again tomorrow. Same time, same frequency, same me. But in the meantime, may St. Joseph watch over you and all those you love. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.